line. Willie D. Mays, 1025 1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. We're live out here at Titans Training Camp, and we'll be here today and tomorrow throughout the rest of the week, so you can listen to us and the Chase McCabe Show as we broadcast live from Titans Training Camp. We'll get player interviews and deliver the latest updates with the Tennessee Titans as the team preps for the 2023 season. Coverage of Titans Training Camp is presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Parman Energy, Caudill Vet Clinic, and the new Cumberland Development. So we will hear from Kevin Byer, Chig Okonkwo, and Mike Vrabel at the podium. They should be up at the podium shortly, but we will carry that live and in its entirety. But we're out here at Titans practice, saw some one-on-one period, saw some 7-on-7, saw some 11-on-11. What stood out to you that you saw from practice today, D-Mays?
I didn't see many balls on the ground, I don't think, at least the practices that I saw. It seemed like the offense had a good day. Saw a few passes Will Levis threw, nice passes. A few that Malik threw. It was a nice throw and catch from Ryan Tannehill to D-Hop in the back of the end zone. So it seemed like the offense had from what I seen, seemed like the offense had a good day.
I would say if I had to choose a winner or a loser of the day, I would say I guess the offense won the day. They did look pretty well, saw all three quarterbacks out there. And it's the same kind of theme from Will Levis and Malik Willis. I've seen some really good things. Some flashes of, okay, that's the guy that everyone was hyping up of. Okay, that's the guy that we are going to want to see in these preseason games as they battle out the rest of the quarterback battle. Backup quarterback battle, rather. And then I've seen some things that's, okay, rookie mistakes. Some things that we need to work on. Some things that we need to kind of adjust a little bit. Like I saw a few passes from Malik Willis. Had some great passes up the middle. There was one pass, I believe it was two, if I can pull up my notes really quickly. It was in a 7-on-7 period. Malik Willis had a ball intended for Josh Wiley that was just a little far right.
Okay.
With the wind. I don't know if it was an overcompensation or if the wind carried it, but it was far right and came back in the next period with a touchdown pass. So that was good to see from Malik Willis. Will Levis today in 11-on-11. Had a completion to Colton Dowell, and then hit Colton Dowell again on the sideline. Colton Dowell dropped that one. I can't hold that against Will Levis.
No.
That was on Colton Dowell. Another pass broken up, intended for Robertson. That's one thing that I've seen. The Will Levis to Reggie Robertson connection is real. It's something that I saw today. Will Levis had a couple touchdown passes to Reggie Robertson. It's really something that I've seen throughout the entirety of training camp. Is that looks like he's emerging as one of his favorite targets.
Yeah, because those guys are working together.
Yeah.
You're talking, you know, third string guys. I'm waving at my man Takahashi. Third string guys. Third string guys, whether it be, you know, wide receiver, quarterback, those guys are going to work a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see the chemistry. If indeed they're building that good chemistry, you're going to see it out in the field. So Robertson, you know, him, you know, being able to be on the same page with Will Levis is not, you know, surprising, because these guys are spending a lot of reps, a lot of days together just going over, whether it be small things walk through or they're going over things that, you know, that are going to come up in team or 7-on-7.
Chig Okonkwo is up at the podium, so we will send it over to Chig now.
On Saturday and kind of cap off this week.
Oh, yeah, it'll be fun. It'll definitely be fun, you know, finally getting like a game week type situation and going there, you know, to compete against other teams, other guys. So that'll definitely be fun to see different faces out there on Saturday.
You guys get frustrated when the defense wins the plays when you're out here on the practice field, or you just kind of go back, watch the film, and try to learn from it?
I mean, you as a competitor, you're going to be frustrated on the field, obviously, but we know we just got to come back in, you know, watch what went wrong, and then, you know, talk about it and then fix it.
Do you remember what your first preseason game was like as a rookie last year?
Yeah, I do. Just being tired the whole time. Just tired out of my mind the whole game, playing all special teams, playing offense. Yeah, we were from Baltimore. Yeah, I remember. I was just tired.
Did you hear plenty from Vrabel? Because I know you mentioned, like, he's very vocal with the rookies in that first year.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, what mistakes you've made and kind of putting the other guy.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely when you make mistakes, it's definitely brought up and shown. So, yeah, it was tough.
You said you were talking about your desire. You expect these rookies to not know what's really going to hit them this first preseason game?
I feel like there's just no way to really expect it. You just have to go and feel it. And once you feel it, you're going to be like, wow, it's different. So you can't really prepare for it. It's just you just got to do it.
How do you prepare for it with a year under your belt? How do you prepare for the preseason game? What are you looking
at? Just execute on our fundamentals. That's why I just want to go out there and make sure that we do. Just execute on our bread and butter stuff on offense, things that we're going to carry into the year.
How is the training different for you? As opposed to last year going through the draft circuit and all that, and then this year being able to ramp it up, you know, in preparation for the season?
You're talking about training in the offseason?
Yes.
I did the same thing. I went back down to Fort Lauderdale, you know, super hot down there. Got to run around in the sun a lot, did some training, did some speed training, tight end training. I got, like, everything down there. And I was pretty much just working, like, two times a day in the heat to get prepared.
I would imagine that your percentage of reps, you know, it was 37% last year. It's going to go up this year. Did you do anything different conditioning-wise?
Conditioning-wise, no, I just did what I did my whole life, just run around in the hot sun.
How's the schedule been as far as keeping guys fresh where you don't get the camp legs maybe at some point?
Oh, yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, it's been good. We go, like, twice a day, and then we'll have a jog-through day to get our legs back, and then we'll go back, and we'll get back on it later in the week, and then at the end of the week we'll have our off day on Sunday. So, yeah, it's a pretty good time to get our legs back.
Jake, how do you rate yourself as a blocker now compared to, say, this time a year ago?
I'd say better, but still needs improving, as everything in my game does.
Football since he was 19 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, is it hard to have you gotten to know him, and can you see maybe a faster growth curve for him because everything is so new to him?
Yeah, that's my boy, Thomas. Strong, one of the strongest, if not strongest, dude on the team. It's actually kind of crazy the stuff he does in the weight room. But yeah, he's definitely improved a lot this year, especially blocking. Like it's been amazing to watch. You know, guy, he's kind of just locks guys out with his arms and stuff. He just keeps them there, so he's just really strong.
He got that roster exemption last year for the international player. How much did you see him grow in that year?
Oh, a ton. You like seeing him now, from now to back then, like just way better. And that's obviously a testament to him. He won our offseason player of the year award because he's just put in so much work and so much grind. And yeah, I'm excited to watch him play.
You thought about maybe making a trip to the Netherlands to see him. Did you ever do that?
I'm gonna do it. We're doing it this offseason coming up.
There's no fullback on the roster per se, so Vrabel said that the tight ends are picking up some of the plays where you'd have two guys in the backfield. How's that been, kind of adding that to the play to your plate?
I mean, last year I did a lot of fullback stuff, so for me it's just normal. So
had you ever done anything like that at Maryland or anything?
Yeah.
Do you like it back there?
Yeah, it's fun. It's easy. You just run and hit a gap.
Sorry, they're asking you to block more, obviously. How do you
Yeah, I'm at a weight right now. I'm actually a lot heavier in my past. I'm trying to get back to where I was, you know, back in college. And at that way, I still look the same as I do now. So it doesn't really affect me in terms of running around.
Where are you now, and what do you want to be?
It's like 245.
That's good.
Appreciate you. All right, there you go. That was Titans tight end Chig Okonkwo. We will also hear from Mike Vrabel and Kevin Byard from the podium as well. Anything really stand out to you there?
No, not really. I mean, the whole tight end situation. You know, they're going to have to. I don't think the Titans want to carry a tight end. I'm sure
a fullback.
Tight end, fullback. I don't think the Titans want to carry a fullback because they feel they have enough big guys at the tight end position that they can sort of, you know, double as a fullback if needed. And Chig said, listen, I play fullback in college, so, you know, some. So it's nothing new to me. It's easy. Find a gap. Make sure you're hitting the right guy. That's about it.
Right, and that's something that, and Joe Rex wrote story on The Athletic, he kind of followed Chig for a day, that blocking was one of their biggest priorities so far in camp, is working on his blocking ability, working on his chipping ability. So, good to hear from Chig there. But we'll hear from Kevin Byard and Mike Vrabel coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Honestly, this entire group of tight ends, even the rookie, I think he's doing a really good job of, you know, he's a guy that's tall. He has a lot of length down there, so I would expect him to be used in the red zone a little bit. But I just like the group as a whole because they're all so different. They all do a bunch of different things, including Wesco as well. So.
Kind of progressed through the course of camp, through, you know, whether it's red zone periods or 2 minute, you know, kind of rallying together.
Yeah, I'm a little biased. I think that, you know, we've been winning the majority of the days out here. Obviously, the offense, they're making plays and things like that. But just like the way we're all looking as entire defense, obviously, you know, our front four, you know, every single day. And it's kind of hard during training camp to really tell because sometimes, you know, they're getting sacks, but obviously Braves is letting the play go along. But and even the DBs, especially some of these young rookies, these young DBs, Money Marsh, number 25, who I call him, he's been making a lot of plays, really showing up. So just excited for us to keep growing and obviously get to our first preseason game on Saturday.
What kind of impression is Anthony Kendall
making? Like I said, I think that all of these guys, they're just coming out here just competing. And I think that's the main thing. Obviously, we still have a long way to go. It's going to be very telling when we get to this first preseason game how guys are going to react when it's really live out there. Sometimes some of these rookies, there are certain things we get to the first game, right, if it's tagging a guy down the ground or we get to some two-minute situations. But they're all competing, and they're all hungry, and I think that's the great thing to see with any of the rookies.
Kevin, can you talk about Armani Marsh? This is a guy that they signed in rookie camp, Washington State kid. Looks like he's out there battling every single day.
He's versatile, man. It's the first DB I've probably seen with a neck roll. I don't know if y'all peeped it. He got a little neck roll. So he throws his stuff in there when he's in the slot. So, but like I said, he's been making plays since day one. I think it was maybe in the second day, I was just like, who's number 25? It's weird because I didn't really, you know, sometimes rookies, you don't really know their name. You just kind of know their numbers. It's like, who's 25? He's really impressing me. And he, you know, just kept showing up. So I'm excited to see him on Saturday.
We see you and Armani over there doing side work with Coach Booker. The detail that he puts into it, how much goes into that, and how does that benefit you guys?
That's an everyday thing for us. We do that from training camp all the way up until the playoffs, you know, every day during the season. Obviously, they're doing special teams. We're on the side. We're doing our little footwork drills, just kind of tuning everything up. But there are things that I may bring to Book or Amani, or sometimes Book will have something for us. Rather, if it's working on the middle field tackle drills, we're working on something that we probably coverage that we're putting in that day. But we're also in the meeting room during special teams meeting, watching film on. But if it's other top safeties in the league, watching their man coverages, watching different things they're doing, and obviously watching the tight ends we're going to play this year and watching quarterbacks. So it's a lot of work that gets put in, a lot of detail. You know, me and him, we talk so much about the goals that we set this year, obviously for the defense, but for ourselves personally, numbers and of turnovers that we want to get and things like that. So we have high expectations for ourselves.
That can seem like a couple minutes, but over the course of the season – that's some significant time, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it all adds up. You know, everybody used to say just 1% every single day. So that's just the little inches we're trying to get every day.
How's Bolden's transition to safety gone? Not only his depth, but he's a guy, I guess, that could play in a three safety look or a dime package.
It's been really good. It's been really, really good. Elijah is a guy who during practice will be at safety, be at a nickel, you know, some sub packages, linebacker. He's very, very smart. I tell him that all the time. He's very smart, very versatile. A guy who's obviously last year dealt with some injury stuff. So just, you know, the mental strain that he's had over this whole entire offseason to be able to get back to the position where he's at, to be the guy he's always been, super proud and impressed with him.
What's the challenge in that, Kevin, and being efficient in all those things that they're asking him to do?
Yeah, I mean, some guys can handle it, some guys can't, and I think he's a guy who can handle it. Obviously, there's always things we're trying to work to get better at, but he's a guy that's just impressed me a lot with just – I mean, he impressed me as a rookie how smart he was, but just being able to come in and there's – in training camp, it's kind of different because during the season, the package is a little bit smaller. You're kind of game plan for one team, but training camp, our whole playbook is open. So he can be at three different positions, so he had to know every single thing. So he's impressed me so far.
You're looking forward to seeing Armani play on Saturday. What's preseason games like for you and maybe some of the veterans? You're probably not going to play, but you're going to get to watch guys who are working.
I just try to be a coach. Try to do as much as I can to give the guys something. If it's something that I'm seeing, because obviously we're watching the film and the meetings, if it's something I'm seeing that can help them out, help them play faster. Because I remember when I was a rookie and I was out there and, you know, you're going out there the first drive or two drives and all the vets, you know, eating sunflower seeds with their hat on. But you want to be that guy that's kind of engaged and, you know, making sure that you're just giving them everything that you're seeing on the sideline, because these guys are fighting for their livelihoods. Their guys are trying to make teams. So I'm going to try to do as much as I can to help them out.
When we talked to him last week, he said you guys have played together so long, you kind of both always know what each other's doing. How much does that continue to develop over time, and how great is it to have somebody next to you like that?
Yeah. It's been great. You know, Monty's first 2 years, he was, you know, kind of coming in on third downs, sub package, because Kenny Vaccaro was me and him was starting. So we finally really got our first, you know, our first 3 years together. And it's been impressive. Actually, this is going to be our third year starting together. But Monty, man, he impressed me since he was a rookie. He's a smart guy, very instinctual. You know, hopefully, obviously, he had some injuries last year. But, you know, me and him having a full season together, I think it's going to be great this year. So, like I said, we're in meetings always competing with each other, setting goals and talking about different things we want to do. So, love lining up against Will Armani or lining up with him.
Coach said that he's had to pull you out at times because you're calling everything for everybody and he needs the young guys to figure it out for themselves. How hard is that for you to dial it in and let young guys figure it out?
Yeah, at first, you know, this has been a couple years he's been doing that. But at first, I really didn't like it like that. But now I kind of just understand what he's trying to get accomplished. At the end of the day, we all have room to grow. And, you know, it's the same thing with Jeff. You know, Jeff's out there wrecking plays, and he kind of pulling back a little bit. So, but at the end of the day, it's all about trying to get everybody better, because I've learned the last 2 years, you're going to need everybody. You never know, you know, who's going to be out there, you know, right, if it's nickel corner, safety, any position. So you want everybody to be able to get those reps and have those coaching moments on the field.
On that same idea, Kevin, with Elijah, then when he's back there, how is he in terms of being able to do all that and communicate to everybody?
Yeah, I mean, he's still learning. But I think he's, like I said, he's been really good. And at times, man, this guy has a lot on his plate. Sometimes, you know, as a veteran, you kind of help him out a little bit. Some things that he may not be thinking about at the time, I try to help him out as much as possible. But like I said, he's been great, man, learning all three positions that he's probably going to be playing. So I look forward to him to keep getting better.
Compartmentalizing the jobs. You have any kind of suggestions for how a guy might do that?
Yeah, I mean, at first everything's kind of moving a little fast, but I guess you're trying to slow the game down as much as possible. Watch more film. I mean, even being at the house, you know, I don't know if it's your wife or whatever, just kind of helping you walk through some different things. But at the end of the day, man, it's all about reps. The more reps you get, the more comfortable you get, the more the game slows down.
You talked about being being an extra coach or whatever, trying to impart things that you've learned to guys. Do you do that to the other side of the ball, even though you're trying to win the play? Sometimes you tell a receiver, hey, you might be better doing this, or tell a quarterback, hey, don't throw it there, you're being baited, that sort of thing?
Yeah, at times. I mainly do it when we get to the locker room. I don't really do it on the field because I don't want to give them anything that's going to beat me out there. But when we get in the locker room, we start to talk about different things, like, hey, on this play, you know, this stem that you gave me on his ride really gave me some trouble here, so that would be really good. And I was talking to Tony Dews, who's obviously coaching the tight ends now, and was telling him about we're doing one-on-ones, and it was a route that Chig ran. I said, the reason why I didn't go for the little move you made is because, you know, you didn't give me enough shoulder or something like that. So, like you said, at the end of the day, maybe we're on the field. Sometimes you don't really have time because you're kind of locked in practice. But once we get in the meeting room or just if I see a guy in the locker room, like, hey, what were you doing on this play? And he'll tell me, like, hey, if you do this better, you might make me go left, and then, you know, you'll have a little bit more space. So, because like I said, man, when you're a younger player, sometimes you don't really want to give people stuff because we know we're all getting evaluated. But I'm not, you know, I'm in a position where it doesn't really matter because I just want everybody to get better because it's going to help the team.
Kevin, what are the expectations for the defense so far? What are the conversations like just about what this unit can accomplish?
I think we can accomplish a lot. I think just – as a team, I mean, right, if it's just the defensive backs, obviously we have our goals, but just as a unit, I feel like we can be just as dominant as any other defense in the league, and I think that has to be the standard. The standard is always going to be the standard. You know, Coach always say, like, he don't necessarily coach the results, but we coach the actions. And every single day, the actions is always try to be to the highest level. Obviously, we're not going to be perfect, but at the end of the day, when we marry our front seven and our front four with that pass rush and that run defense with the things we're doing on the back end, we feel we could be as dominant as anybody. No problem. Thank you.
All right, there you go. That was Titans' Kevin Byard. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel at the podium coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 125, 106.3 The Game. All right, Mike Vrabel is up at the podium here at St. Thomas Sports Park, so we will take it to Mike Vrabel on today's day of practice. Vrabel at the podium. One thing that I want to hear today, because they did a majority of...
I think he's up now.
I told the team and you know everybody involved here at the organization, but Terrell Williams will act as the head coach for Chicago starting on Friday. So I think this is a great opportunity for him and for us and everybody involved. So Big T will handle that. Clint will handle the defensive line, and so that'll start on Friday. So you guys can handle that through Robbie and the communication when you talk to Big T and you know, kind of steer it towards that, and he'll talk to you after the game, and I'll come back on Sunday and visit with you guys. So go ahead, Teresa.
Hopefully your absence isn't due to anything.
Oh, no, I'll be here. No, I'm going to be here.
So is it more to give Terrell the opportunity and exposure to acting as a head coach and helping that? I mean, and how valuable is that?
Well, again, that'll be something that you'll have to ask him afterwards, but I just think that him dealing and talking with the trainer and you know, again, we'll have a lot of conversations between now and, you know, Friday, but just handling things with the roster and discussing those things with the assistant coaches and, you know, how we want to play the game or letting them make those decisions in the game. And, you know, we'll go into the game with things that we think we need to try to get done, and I'm sure he'll try to do that, and I'll help him, you know, where need be. But I do think it'll be a great opportunity, you know, well-deserved. And so this is something that I wanted to do.
What will you do?
Well, I mean, I'll obviously, you know, be involved and coach the guys on technique and, you know, help T where I can or, you know, if there's, you know, a question or a concern. But try to help him understand that role and what's required.
I know the hand was kind of forced when you guys had to do it with Stretch a couple of years ago, but was that a beneficial experience to kind of inform this one?
No, I think those two are separate. You know, I mean, I think those two are separate. You know, wanted to be able to plan this out and talk to it and give T ample opportunity to prepare, you know, for those meetings and his message and the direction in which he wants to take it.
How long have you been thinking about doing this, Michael?
There's some things that, you know, try to go through these things in the summer and you get away from it and try to think, you know, different things that you may want to do as it relates to training camp.
How do you think you obviously know him well and how do you think he'll do? Is it just something he's fired up about?
Well, yeah, I mean, again, you'll have to ask him, you know, about some of those feelings and things like that, but I'm sure he'll do a great job.
What was the reaction like from Jeff and some of those big guys up front that the coaches saw?
Again, those are great questions for those guys later on in the week. I just wanted to inform you guys so that you guys can have an opportunity to discuss that.
What stood out to you about him as a coach?
Just his ability to reach every player offensively, defensively. You know, great experiences at different places. And, you know, you always see him talking to guys across the ball or O-linemen or, you know, young players, veteran players. So
how did this idea kind of come about? Because it doesn't seem like it's something that's been done a whole lot around the league.
I came up with the idea, like most of the other things we do.
You can see some of these undrafted guys like Tart, Naquan Jones, Peavy this year. How much has their progression into playing key roles for you? How much did that play into?
Well, sir. Well, no. I mean, just the ability to develop and teach players. And again, it wasn't about his ability to coach Jeff Simmons or develop some of those guys. This is an opportunity that was earned and deserved because of, you know, the vision that I think I have and his ability to reach, again, have conversations with all different players and people in our organization from different positions and different backgrounds. And so
what about the running back position? How have you seen some of the guys behind Henry start to show up?
Well, you know, we'll see when the games come. I think that they're all doing some good things, and the special teams element is going to be huge, and they're all trying to find a role, and I think they're working hard at it. You know, protecting and trying to step in there. You know, I saw Jay Ward today. You know, defense kind of had an overload pressure, and, you know, Jay Ward had to try to come back and save the day and stood in there onto Nico, and, you know, I don't know whether we'd have gotten it off or not, but Ryan threw it to Hop and completed it, you know, on third down, so – again, their willingness to just react and play, and You know, that's what you're looking for when the games start.
Is it helpful for you guys when the officials are out and Trey Avery tugs on Josh Wiley in the end zone, it's pass interference and there's no flag? Does that help you get used to the regular season?
Well, I think regardless of whatever is called or not called, I think just having them here is good operation for us, for them. They can meet with our players, and I'm sure they'll look at it. And whether they think it was after the fact or not, you know, we got to come back and we got to play the next play. And so I think it's good. It's beneficial for everybody.
What did you see from Justin Murray today in his first game?
I thought he was competitive. He popped him in there at guard and was able to go in there and operate and function and, you know, act like a pro.
How's Chris Hubbard done since he's been here and kind of taken over, getting most of the reps with the ones?
He's doing good. I mean, he's working hard and trying to progress and push through. And, you know, today was a good day for conditioning, and there were plays where they moved the pile and plays where there was good pockets and good protection, and then other plays, you know, we'd like to have back. But, you know, just there was a lot of great situations that come up. We're down in the red zone and, you know, different looks that they coach through, and, you know, just able to say, hey, listen, if we get this on this particular play, like, this is how we want to block it, or, you know, just through the course of a lot of reps, there's just a lot of different little details that come up, and, you know, that's why you practice.
As far as his versatility goes and maybe how many strides he made this offseason?
Well, I thought he's, you know, really worked hard this offseason. He's gotten stronger and, you know, looks to be more durable in there and a little thicker and stronger to be able to anchor, and has played guard and even working at some at center and, you know, different practices or walkthroughs and being able to play tackle. So, you know, we'll continue to look at him, and these games will be critical for Andrew.
How has Andre Dillard seemed to kind of settle in? He has some good reps today, and he seems like he's stacked some good games.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you liked the day that he had, Teron. I appreciate the evaluation. I do think that he's gotten more comfortable just being here, and I think he's gotten in better playing shape. I think you can go and run and do sprints and everything, but it's a long day for an offensive lineman. It's a lot of individual, and then you come over here and run some team reps and then 2 minutes. So I think the biggest thing has just been his conditioning and confidence to go out there and block these guys, and it looks like he's improved each day.
When you screen got a gold Malik twice and he doesn't get a playoff when the play clock's dwindling, what's the disconnect there?
I don't think there's a disconnect. I think it's why you practice. This is early on in 2 minutes, and, you know, these situations are critical. So, you know, we'll make the corrections, and we'll explain it to them and make sure that, you know, everybody's seeing it through the same set of eyes and that we understand what the situation is. And, you know, but, you know, there's going to be some of that as we work our way through. And, you know, would we like every 2 minute drive to go down there and kick a 30 yarder? Sure, we would. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And, you know, I think the more that you expose them to these situations that aren't scripted, those are great opportunities to learn. And then if we don't, you know, come back and get it the next time, then we'll have to, you know, figure out why. But now it's first exposure to that situation, and I'm sure it'll be much better the next time.
Kevin Byard said that Armani Marsh was somebody that has been impressing him and making plays from day one. That rang true for you as well. What have you kind of seen out of Armani through camp?
You know, playing nickel and quick and, you know, showing up. So, you know, again, we just ask our players to play, and, you know, Rand and I will evaluate the positions and try to coach.
How's Elijah handling the variety of roles?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think okay. There was probably the most, you know, we went in the call-up period. Again, I told you, came in there on Julius and stepped up in there and has shown some versatility and, you know, probably – We'll get some work at nickel eventually and making sure that he's still good there. But I do, you know, his ability to be out there, you know, we're dealing with some of the things that he dealt with last year from a health perspective. I think he's continued to improve and get better.
Is your plan for the quarterbacks, Malik and Levis, just in terms of Saturday's game, kind of set or anything they can do this week?
That'd be a question for Big T.
Are we going to have an opportunity to talk to him?
Yes.
Are we going to have an opportunity to talk to him before the game?
Yeah, he's on
Thursday. He's on the schedule.
Oh.
Can he take one of these from you?
Saturday afternoon, he'll have you guys Saturday afternoon. He can take all of them if he wants.
See you guys.
All right, there you go. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel up at the podium. Interesting to hear there that he's not going to be serving in his head coaching duties on Saturday in Chicago. We will react to that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
So is it more to give Terrell the opportunity and exposure to acting as a head coach and helping that? I mean, and how valuable is that?
Well, again, that'll be something that you'll have to ask him. Afterwards, but I just think that him dealing and talking with the trainer and you know, again, we'll have a lot of conversations between now and, you know, Friday, but just handling things with the roster and discussing those things with the assistant coaches and, you know, how we want to play the game or letting him make those decisions in the game. And, you know, we'll go into the game with things that we think we need to try to get done, and I'm sure he'll try to do that, and I'll help him, you know, where need be. But I do think it'll be a great opportunity. You know, well deserved. And so this is something that I wanted to do.
There goes Mike Vrabel at the podium. Hey, Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. TD Teron Davenport will join us in just about 20 minutes or so. But there you heard Mike Vrabel say that he will not be serving as the head coach on Saturday in Chicago. Instead, it'll be defensive line coach Terrell Williams. Mm-hmm. Assistant head coach, defensive line coach Terrell Williams will be serving as the head coach on Saturday. Now look, I feel two different kind of ways about this. Part of me appreciates rewarding hard work when there are coaches or players or whoever in any line of work, whether it's your coach and a head football team, whether you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. I always appreciate acknowledging and giving opportunities to those people who deserve it, especially when you're looking at it from an NFL point of view, how it's been, unfortunately, a topic of conversation over the last few years of how there aren't enough black head coaches in the league, how there aren't enough black coaches that get opportunities to serve as head coaches. I respect the Titans giving him, Terrell Williams, that opportunity. On the other side of it, though, I mean, we've got a backup quarterback battle. And, D-Mace, mm-hmm. you and I started off the show talking about how important these games are. How, yes, they are just preseason games. How, yes, in the grand scheme of things, they don't really mean anything. How we're not going to step away from Saturday saying, well, the Titans are either Super Bowl contenders or they're not. We're not going to know those answers after Saturday. But these preseason games mean something, especially when you have something as valuable as a backup quarterback battle. It concerns me a little bit that Mike Vrabel isn't going to be serving as the head coach.
Well, I mean, he's going to be there, yes, and he's going to be on the sidelines, and he will have a headset on, and if anything needs to be said, he will more than likely say it, but this is a great opportunity, and I think every NFL team, this is something that every NFL team should employ. I don't know if Mike Vrabel's the first guy that has done it in recent years.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, maybe I've never heard it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those deals where, you know, I guess it's by franchise, whoever decides to do it. It's not like a league mandatory thing where, you know, you got to allow the assistant head coach to sort of serve that head coaching role at least once during the preseason, which should be the case now that I'm thinking about it. Because, again, there's nothing wrong with Coach Williams going out and coaching a game that doesn't mean anything on the record, but obviously it does mean something to guys that are trying to earn spots. But him coaching is not going to, you know, stop a guy from going out there and playing the best football he can play. It's not like he, as a new coach, they just brought him in and said, okay, you be the head coach.
No,
he's been with this organization for a minute. And, you know, he's been a coach for a very long time. He and Mike Vrabel have a relationship. So, you know, this is something that I'm sure Mike Vrabel thought about long. Mm-hmm. And he just wants to give an opportunity to an individual that he believes deserves it.
And I totally respect that. My only gripe with it, though.
Or hesitancy.
Hesitancy is probably a better word. Hesitancy with that is I've been saying that as you go into the preseason, as Malik Willis and Will Levis have looked pretty neck and neck so far in training camp, I wanted that all conditions in the preseason games to reflect as closely as they would be in the regular season. So I want the first team offensive line out there. And I know that you're not going to see DeAndre Hopkins and Treylon Burks out there in the preseason, that they're going to be throwing to, you know, the Josh Wileys or the Reggie Robertsons out there. And that most likely will not be the case in the regular season if and when one of those two needs to come in. I acknowledge that. But I wanted all conditions to be as closely resemble a regular season game in the preseason game, because I want as fair of an evaluation of those two as possible. And yes, Mike Vrabel's going to be there. No, whoever's calling plays or serving as the head coach, whoever's got the headset on Saturday, that's not going to inhibit one quarterback one way or another, nor should they affect their play in any way or another. I just look at it, and I just want it to be as closely the same as possible.
Well, it's going to be the same because Vrabel's not calling any plays during the regular season. You know, Tim Kelly is going to call all the plays, and it's going to be like that for, you know, this Bears game, this preseason game. He's just serving the role as sort of, you know, he has to manage all positions as a head coach. It's not like I'm specifically, unless you're the head coach and office coordinator.
And you can't recreate that
exactly,
else.
Which Vrabel isn't the office coordinator. Mm-hmm. Head coach, yes. So it's not an easy task, but it's not going to, you know, it's not going to affect the guys in their job whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Guys are not even going to think about it. Honestly, if Vrabel didn't tell everybody, and just told Terrell that, hey, listen, you're going to be the head coach for this, wouldn't nobody know, because they're just going to sort of fall into what their routine anyway, what they would do the night of a game, the night before a game, and the day of a game, or the night of a game in this situation. They're going to just continue to do the same things. I don't expect Coach Williams to go out of his way and start doing things different.
No.
He's
going to
do the same thing. Yeah, he's going to do
the
same thing he's been doing. He's going to work with his defensive line, get them going before the game, get them all warmed up. But then once they come back out and that anthem is sang and they get ready to kick the ball off, that's when he then puts on his head coaching sort of hat in a sense. But nothing's really going to change as far as what they want to do from a schematic standpoint and who's going to play what. It's not like, because they're going to decide who's going to play what probably by Wednesday or Thursday, as far as what quarterback's going to start and what quarterback's going to be the backup for that particular game. They're going to decide that way in advance. So when I go out on the field, nobody's going to know the difference.
I do wonder what motivated this decision, and if it's just simply that Mike Vrabel wanted to reward Terrell Williams for his hard work and he sees the potential in him and wants him to get that opportunity, that's totally fair and justified if that was the only motivating factor. But I do wonder, was there something else? Was this discussions that they had behind closed doors? Is there a role that Mike Vrabel wants to play on Saturday to do his own evaluation separate from the head coaching role? I don't know. I don't know what it is. And Terry McCormick asked him, you know, where did this idea come from? Mike Vrabel said, well, I thought of the idea. We're going to do it. Touche. All right. I hear you. But I do wonder, was there any motivation to do this outside of just giving Terrell Williams the opportunity?
I think it was just that. A guy that has worked very, very hard. A guy that has bought into everything that this organization is about. And Vrabel said it, and you know, in his press conference. Listen, I see Coach Williams and how he interacts with everybody, not just his group, the D-line, not just with the defense, but he's talking across the aisle to the wide receivers or the offense. He's talking to people in the building. So he's almost like he has the traits of a head coach.
Yeah.
Because the head coach has to be the CEO of everybody. And he's shown them those traits to Coach Vrabel. And Coach Vrabel wants to give him an opportunity to see how that seat really feels. It's one thing to think about it and aspire to do it, but to actually be put in that position It's totally different. Why do you think, you know, in high school they have these kids and say if they want to, like my son wants to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Well, we could talk about it, uh-huh. But I want you to experience that. Go shadow a doctor. See what they do so you really understand what it's about. And that's all Vrabel's doing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Some more
takeaways. See, I play a radio host. You know, I play a radio show host.
We are a radio show host. I guess we all kind of play it.
But we play it, too. So,
we do kind of.
And then we got our real life outside of it. So there we go.
Let's get into some more takeaways and thoughts from practice. I think that one of my biggest takeaways from today was just watching the quarterbacks in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. The weather influenced a good bit because I saw more handoffs today than I think I've seen in any, you know, in day of practice. And that's also, you know, with an asterisk that we weren't out here on Friday. The weather, bad rain. We brought the show inside to the studio, so we weren't at practice, didn't actually see practice on Fridays with my own eyes. But today I saw more handoffs than ever. It is, if you can't hear, it is windy today. It's the windiest day of practice so far. I saw more handoffs today. We saw it in 11-on-11 periods. Tannehill had a couple quick completions, one to Chig and then one to DeAndre Hopkins in a tight window, and then a handoff to Hassan Haskins up the middle, and then another completion, DeAndre Hopkins. We saw more, at least I did. We missed the end of 11-on-11s because we have a radio show to host.
Exactly.
Missed the end of 11-on-11s, but I saw more throws from Tannehill than any of the three quarterbacks. Saw more confident throws from Ryan Tannehill than any of the three quarterbacks, which is to be expected.
Exactly.
But a whole lot of handoffs from Malik Willis and Will Levis today, just given the windiness of it all.
Yeah, but then, you know, I saw some crisp throws out there by all three quarterbacks.
Yeah, there were some good throws.
You know, I saw some throws that you see that they were trying to make adjustments because of the wind. But it gives them, because they may have to play in this weather. Whereas windy.
Yeah,
Chicago is windy. So, listen, this is a perfect, this was the perfect sort of situation for the Titans headed to Chicago this Sunday. Mm-hmm. What is Chicago known as? The Windy City.
It's not because of the wind.
It will be, but it's windy in Chicago.
It is windy in Chicago.
Very windy in Chicago. Off that lake, it is very windy. So this right here is sort of, you know, it's painting this picture of what it may be once they go up north Saturday, where you're going to have to adjust how you throw the football. You know, as a receiver, you're going to have to adjust how the ball's coming to you. So I think this was a perfect practice to prepare you potentially for what is going to be when you head up to Chicago.
The kickers. It's an underrated battle.
Oh, my goodness.
An important battle that we've been watching. Caleb Shudock was out there today. He was 9-for-9 and hit from 50-plus. That's all I've been saying. I don't need Justin
Tucker.
Now,
was the wind at his back?
That he was kicking.
The wind was at his back.
The wind was, that is true. It was carrying the ball
a little
bit.
But I take it.
I'll take it because I've been saying, I don't need Justin Tucker. Uh-huh. I don't need you to hit it from 65.
It'd be nice to have Justin Tucker.
It would be great. I'll take Justin Tucker. I don't need you to be Justin Tucker. All I need is a kicker that if you go out and it's 43, 46, 47, where you're going to be in those situations. I want a kicker that can go out there and I'm not biting my fingernails down to the nub because I'm so nervous that they're going to miss or make it. So a good day for Caleb Shudock today. Now, what does that mean in the grand scheme of things, the kicking battle? Dre Wolf was my favorite, honestly, going into today, but I liked what I saw from Caleb Shudock. Take it with a grain of salt because it is awfully windy today if you cannot hear it. But a good day for Caleb Shudock in the kicking competition.
That it was. But, I mean,
it's one day.
It's one day. Everybody be calm. As long as when Saturday rolls around, if they're making those kicks, then we have something to look forward to.
And the thing with the kickers, because obviously I think what I'm going to be looking at, what I think a lot of fans are going to be looking at, what I think everyone should be looking at, is the quarterback competition. But I think an extra added element for the kickers on Saturday is just situational.
Yeah.
Of like, it's on me. Of, you know, we're down to, it's coming down to a kick, and it's 40, can I hit it from 44?
Well, yeah.
Like, the situational preparedness.
They may, you know, they may put themselves in a position where, you know, we got to kick a 50-yard field goal.
Yeah.
52-yard field goal. Yeah, we can possibly run it, you know, or go for it on fourth and inches. But no, we wanna put our kicker in a situation where, you know, he's gonna have to make a 52-yard field goal. Why? What better position to put him in than an actual game where it doesn't mean anything, but it does mean something to you in regards to can you kick this?
Right.
And if you make it, then that gives you, no pun intended, that gives you a leg up.
Ha-ha. There you go. Last thing on the offensive line, which of course has been a topic of conversation, especially since Jamarco Jones.
Rabbit Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, Kangaroo Jones.
Rocky Jones got cut from the team at the end of this past week. Chris Hubbard was taking majority of the first team right tackle reps with the rest of the offensive line that we've seen on the first team kind of the same. So Dana Brunskill working at right guard, Aaron Brewer at center, Peter Skoronski at left guard, and then Andre Dillard at left tackle. So it's looking at like Chris Hubbard's kind of the early favorite to be taking those first team right tackle reps. But I want to get TD's takeaways on what he saw from practice today. Teron Davenport will join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, hey, get out of the summer heat and join us for craft brews, food, games, and entertainment at the 2023 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival. The fun begins this Friday from 6:30 to 10 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. Proceeds benefit the Preds Foundation, which supports Middle Tennessee nonprofit groups and programs in the community. I know it's going to be a blast. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.